Welcome to the Polarized Podcast. Glad to have you back if you're joining us again. This is a really special episode. Happy to introduce this pod, what this pod is about. It's about polarizing movies. Polarizing in the sense of Rotten Tomatoes score. Sometimes critics love it and audiences hate it, or vice versa. Now there's another...
I also never did that before.
There is a doorbell ring of anyways. God damn it. Worst timing.
So good.
Yeah. So those are the types of movies that we talk about, polarizing since we're on tomato scores, like I said, today, where we have an episode that's already off the fucking rails. This episode is A Knight's Tale. I'm sure you probably know if you clicked on this and saw the title of it. Today we are talking about the 2001 movie starring Heath Ledger, Shannon Sossman. I mean, the list goes on. We'll talk about this wonderful cast in length. I'm sure the score of this movie on Rotten Tomatoes is 59% critics, stinky, and 79% audience. So pretty solid, but you know, we'll see if how everybody feels about those scores just in general. I am one person who is a host, but I have another person who's a host as well, a co-host. Sometimes we call him the forever guest, the man, the mystery, the legend, white knight. I'm gonna, you know, the sake of this episode.
It's so perfect.
I would like to introduce my James Lindsay. Hey.
The White Knight. Okay. All right. Yeah. I like the white Power Ranger. And you know what color he was before white? He was green.
He was Green Ranger. Oh, Tommy.
Yeah. Tommy. Yeah, there we go. He was, and he evolved. He did the old Gandalf treatment, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he did.
Except from gray to white, he went from green to white. It's a natural evolution. But I'm just James, the forever guest. You can just call me James. Thanks everybody. Thank you.
James.
Brandon, are you? Yay. I know you mentioned one of the leads in this movie is a Sossman. Do you consider yourself a Sossman? What's your favorite sauce?
Oh my God
damn it. I can't believe you asked that question. Cause yeah, big time.
Favorite sauce.
I think most people know me as quite the Sossman, I would say. When it comes to going to a restaurant that's got salsas or, you know, some type of hot sauce available, I'm like, yes, please.
More the better. If there's a bar of salsa, that's the best thing I think that can happen the sauce department. There's a whole department of sauces.
I had such a good sauce. Like, okay, so this is how much of a sauceman I am. I went to the grocery store, got this sauce, and it was a garlic pepper sauce.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like a, you know, I would say like a typical like bottle, you know, akin to Cholula or Tapatio or whatever. I crushed it in 4 days.
My God.
I was like, everything could use this garlic pepper sauce on it. And I was just a madman, a real sauce.
Oh, it came with a straw. Perfect.
I'm like, oh, yum, yum, yum.
That reminds me of like a good aioli, a solid like aioli. Right, you can't, ooh, right in the veins.
Right in the veins. Just suck it to me, baby.
Well, as much as I enjoy being the forever guest, I think I want to know some other people's favorite sauces as well.
Oh, let's get it. Yeah, you know what? We got.
Let's open up the discussion.
Let's open up the discussion. This is going to be a wonderful episode. We got some wonderful guests. We have both of them returning. Let's introduce them. James.
Absolutely. We have two today. Two more people. Oh. You remember those people that persons that Brandini was talking about earlier? We got two more of them. Real guests.
Oh, my God.
Not these fake ones like me.
Oh, stop it. Here we go again. All right.
If you're forever here, I get that it's a lie. I appreciate it, though. I wish that I could come up with like a Paul Bettany style introduction for Kara and Nick. Let's fucking go.
Whoa.
I tried.
Oh, we got a Kara and Nicholas in the chat.
That was super high energy. That was wild.
I tried. Yeah. I tried to pull out my Paul Bettany. He's got to get into like the wrestling ring or something with that type of introduction.
Maybe that's his second career and he hasn't started it yet.
I would actually assume he's probably pretty averse to it now because of this performance, he got laryngitis.
I can see why. My voice is kind of feeling it already.
He literally at the end of it got laryngitis because he was yelling too much. And which was so funny to read, because then I'm like thinking about like current Bettany performances and I'm like, his... in Marvel, what is he? Vision is so subdued. It's so like whispery and whatnot. And I wonder if he's kind of afraid a little bit. You know, like he's afraid. He's like, I'm not going through the damn laryngitis fit again.
He's like, I've already said too many words in my lifetime.
It's what the people want, but
I'm going with a different sense this time. Going with,
I'm gonna think sight. Of me this time.
he's
put myself first.
Yeah, he's put himself first.
Taking care of me.
God, welcome back, guys.
It's that guy rules. That Paul Bettany guy.
He rips. Oh my God, what a!
He rips. He raps. He
bops.
He claps.
He rips. He rips. He raps. He rhymes. He yells.
Bop it. Flick it. Spin it.
He rocks.
What's your favorite sauce, Nicholas?
What's your favorite sauce?
That's a good question. I mean, favorite sauce has to change with the genre of food, though, right?
Fair.
Overall favorite sauce would probably be a spicy verde sauce for chilaquiles.
That's a good one.
Nice and kind of like a little vinegary.
I'm super happy you all approve of my taste.
So would you say
you're... We're all SoCal, among SoCal friends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So you would say you're a verde over a roja?
Definitely. A spicy verde. Sometimes you get the verde sauce and it's just like...
Tomatillo?
It's like sweet.
Yeah. It's like, it's not good. Sometimes if it's not really good, then it comes out like jelly-like too.
Because the tomatillos, for sure. I mean, obviously, we've established that I'm a sauce man, so I'm really
good. Tomatillo is delicious.
You're a saucy minx, I know.
I'm into all of it, but I mean...
Sauce guy.
I would say, like, a standard verde is not that spicy, but it is so lime-forward. Mm-hmm. And that's something you miss out of a roja. You know,
citrus overload is definitely better.
It's got a bite, yeah.
Yeah,
especially when it's lime, because lime, the citrus in lime, the acidity in it makes you salivate. So you taste more of what you're eating when you have that in your mouth.
Really? Acidity. Acidity of our city.
Of our city. Yeah, city.
No!
City.
Bull! Burrito! Bull!
We're so excited to talk about this movie.
Welcome in, everyone. Hey, how you doing? Don't be shy. There's plenty of room up in front here. Yeah, no, sit mm-hmm. right in front. Yeah, it's okay. I'm not gonna bite.
Kara sauce.
Sauce, Kara.
You know what sauce that gets me Shannon? Saucy?
Is it the Shannon variety?
I mean, I'm a big sauce girl, but I can't think of a single sauce.
Stop it. Okay, well,
and a hummus, perhaps hummus counts.
No.
As well.
When was the last time you had breakfast tacos?
Like kimchi juice? I mean, come on. That's...
Ooh, what about sriracha?
That's juice, though.
Yeah, I guess it'd be more.
Yeah, it does say juice in the name, so I guess it can't be a sauce.
Yeah.
I guess like a spicy, what is it called? Like a spicy marinara sauce.
Okay. When was the last time you had pasta?
It's been a while. I don't know.
Really? Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
We had pasta. We went and visited Michelle, my sister, and had pasta.
Oh, yeah. We
did some angel hair, just like classic angel hair. That was really good.
Oh, that's how Brandon feels all the time. Angel hair pasta.
Yeah. I haven't told James this story about at Coach.
Oh, great.
At the end of the night, we all asked ourselves, what kind of pasta are we? And I said, an angel hair pasta.
I thought they were asking us, what kind of noodle do you feel like right now?
That's right.
It was
bodily, bodily, I felt like just cooked pastas. That was on the plate without sauce.
A little overcooked, or you're perfectly al dente? Were you a little more?
Oh, he was
overcooked for sure.
Yeah, he was like, and there's a lot of pasta water.
Wait, someone broke the noodles before they put me.
Just wet noodle.
If he was a penne, it would be the pennies are like breaking at the ends.
Yeah, the frayed edges. That's definitely a good description.
What did you say though?
That was my answer. I was a wet spaghetti noodle that had just come out of being boiled and was on the plate without sauce. Yeah. So I was drying out.
I feel like that's like the kind of where sauce shines in a big way is pasta. That's such like a center part of the dish of like, you can really just have noodles sauce and call it a day and be all right. So, I mean, that's a nice one for like front and center rather than just like, just a condiment. It's like,
you know what? The
spotlight's on that sauce.
Oh, what are you going to say, Brandon? You like dry noodles?
No, I was just going to say
I like noodles without sauce too.
Well, like olive oil, very similar to that, would be sauce. Curry in my mind is also just a sauce and a starch.
So much flavor.
And that's fine. You know, it's one of those things. If you put stuff into the sauce, great, but curry and rice.
You got your coconut curries.
Some people dip curry. Like their French fries into curry.
Oh, like a poutine.
Curry sauce.
Sounds like
I had that the other day.
I'm going to try the next time I do that.
Oh, well, shit, we got to go. So I had that the other day at by me. There's this place called Shakespeare's Pub, and they have
Shakespeare.
French Shakespeare. That's a Man United bar.
It is.
Did you see Paul?
Well, that's exactly. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Chaucer.
Yes. Chaucer. Which, man, I had no idea about like that being a real person and what the kind of.
I was like, he's definitely a real person.
There he is.
I still have it from high school. Oh, that's like, yeah. That's like,
I was like, I think I still have it. And I found it.
That's sophomore year of high school right there.
I remember jack shit, but yeah, you can see Knight's Tale is the very first. I remember nothing. It's amazing though, just flipping through it, how it is, you know, and this is coming
from a Knight's Tale is the very first myself, story.
But it's like, wow, all of this rhymes.
Oh, that's awesome.
All the way, that's crazy. This guy made this rhyme all the way through.
It's called The Knight's Tale.
It rhymes the entire story.
Yeah, man, it's nuts.
Oh, man.
The Knight's Tale. That's stories awesome. Of old have made it known to us that there was once a duke called Theseus, ruler of Athens, lord and governor, and in his time so great a conqueror. There was none mightier beneath the sun, and many a rich country he had won. And it goes for pages.
For pages. I was going to say, that looked like it was a long story.
They had a lot of time back then.
They did.
They didn't even
they
know
had time. A lot of time. Now we have no time.
Yeah, no time to rhyme.
Yeah.
Oh, cool, man. Your turn. Lay it down, my man. All right. That is the energy of this movie, isn't it, though? I mean, what we're
this just is like, be a
yeah.
Great
what was that?
Yeah.
This is going to be a great episode.
Too late.
Before we. Too late. Before we get into the movie proper, let's hear some personal anecdotes about connections to this movie from the two of you. I'd love to hear if you have a history with it. I think Nick definitely does, but yeah.
Okay, I'll go first. Like, you have car time to think about it. Like I was saying earlier, every time we're together as a family, like now, because when we were growing up and the movie came out and it was on TV like every day, it's like one of those movies you're always gonna watch. But we watched that movie as a family probably like 50 times. And now when we go home for like Thanksgiving or Christmas, that's like one of our holiday movies that we put on. It's my brother's favorite, apparently my brother's favorite movie, because he's naming his baby boy William after the character.
Oh, wow.
That's right. That's how we started this. I forgot.
My brother's name. I'm going to be an uncle in fucking 2 months.
To Sir William.
To Thatcher. You're a Thatcher.
I'm definitely going to call him that. I'm never calling him Bill.
You got to call him Sir Ulrich. Actually, that would be offensive. You got to call him
by his family. We're family. I can use the first name. He's not going to be my, well, he might be my lord because probably going to run us in circles.
That's the hope, right?
Oh, hey, that's the hope.
Hey, that's the hope.
You know what? Hey. God willing.
I will.
You'll be blind. He'll be like fixing a net and he'll come in and be like, do you know a Nicholas Schulte? Oh, he lives right over there at Cheapside. And they'll come in and there'll be Nick with the net. And then and then William will come and hang out with old Nick Schulte and the net maker.
He's blind at that point, and exactly. It's just one of those.
Oh, I'll fix the leak.
He won. I'm making a net or something.
Yeah, making that fishing net.
Making that fishing net.
Come back tomorrow.
I'm almost done. It'll be ready tomorrow.
Nick, see, you nailed it.
I've not seen this movie way too many times.
Hello, Hollywood.
Oh yeah, see, Brandon's got this direct line to Hollywood. If you ever
need
it.
Oh my God, that's so much better.
Last pulled time out that red phone. His phone.
It was a direct line to the police. So at least he's calling.
That's a, no. That's calling a different Hollywood color.
That's a different color. Phone.
Direct line to Cheapside.
Oh, that's we're sending that's you back. Burner.
God, I want to watch like a Wire type show that just takes place in Cheapside.
Oh my God. There's a ton of storylines that you could follow there.
I can say this now. One of the reviews I was pulling up for later was from David Sims' Letterboxd review. And it was something to the effect of like, give me a first person mode on Geoffrey Chaucer in this movie. Just like a first person camera on just his life walking around. Because, yeah, I could just watch Paul Bettany just origin story as Nick's taking a call. Sorry, what I was saying was just uninteresting. He's got this big...
Cheapside's calling. He's got to go back.
It's a Thatcher life for me.
All right, bye.
The audacity.
Wow. God forbid you take the call after.
It was work-related. Nobody can do anything when I'm not there. Hey, if we're out of this beer, we're not out of the beer. I just saw the two kegs in the fridge yesterday. There's no way we went through them. Oh, okay, cool. Oh, I see right you here. Now.
Oh, yeah, do a pod-by.
You're probably right. I could have taken that call later, but...
You know what? I quit. I'm a professional podcaster now.
Yeah.
This is way more enjoyable than my job. So
you know what I love about this movie is that they didn't have phones back then to interrupt. God,
so true.
Man, they were just living in the moment.
All right, Cara.
Oh my God. Wow. Living in the moment. What's that like? Oh,
I should just be wearing my I'm sorry bucket hat.
Yeah, you should all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I want to hear Cara, if you have any history with Knight's Tale. I know you're a big fan of 10 Things I Hate About You with Heath Ledger. Mm-hmm. Do you remember seeing that movie beforehand at all? And do you have any memory of seeing Knight's Tale itself?
Yes, I did watch 10 Things I Hate About You. I don't know if I like at the time realized I must have known it was the same guy. It didn't really faze me, but I don't have like a big history with it. I just remember loving it so much. And it was like one of those movies that, yeah, that would play on TV all the time. And I would watch it every time it was on. And, I think it was kind of also one of the first movies that made me fall in love with like medieval costumes and just that whole world. Like I remember being excited even as a young kid, like I want to go to the Renaissance Fair because of that. And so it was just an introduction to medieval stuff on TV for me, at least, you know, so.
Definitely feels like a Renaissance Fair energy in this movie.
Absolutely.
And it's mainly focused with the trappings of just what you would see at a Renaissance fair. It doesn't go venture out much further than that.
It's also not beholden to being like period specific.
Yeah, it was,
you
fun.
Know, it's super approachable. Yeah, it was interesting to hear
it's about a feel good, fun
like,
film.
The director's relationship to the like the music, because the music plays a big part in how his idea of it was he wanted to put music that would elicit the same response that music of the time would. Mm-hmm. So obviously in that time, it wouldn't been Queen and all of that stuff, but it would have elicited the same type of like, wow, here we go. This is just, you know,
it's a great idea. And it's like almost overused at this point in time, where at the time it was more of a novel concept, I think, of like mashing those two together in like a, you know, in the, in the medieval time sort of way. I would try to think of other examples. I think like, you know, the cool music in Pulp Fiction was a start, but like, I'm almost thinking of like when Black Knight came out, that was another one that was like trying to modern, or Kate and Leopold, is that, or like Blast from the Past, or
Romeo,
like
Romeo and Juliet. Like,
Romeo and Juliet is a great, that's a great stylistic comparison for sure.
And bringing that, you know, just huge modern sensibility and visuals and music. Mm-hmm. Cause I mean, Romeo and Juliet was such a fucking massive movie.
Big time. And soundtracks at this time in general.
Totally. Yeah. Cause I mean, if you were to think about music at the time, it's very much, you're starting, people are like into charts. There's places you could go that would feature like, here are the top, you know, artists in the front when you walk in, and everybody's really starting to get into, you know, like CDs and exchanging music. And so it was this having like a combination. And
music videos.
And music videos too, which this movie definitely plays like a music video a lot of times, you know, which, again, I think this movie's really smart to not be beholden to needing to be up its own butt, and like it has to be period specific. You know, and this
dry and like just sometimes they're so like dramatic and heavy, you know, period pieces. And so this is just lighthearted and fun, but you can still experience watching like a period piece, you know.
Like in the scene where they're coming back into, like they're coming back into town for his first time, and the boys are back in town.
Oh my god!
Oh yeah! Oh my god!
That was after the like saddest moment in the movie too. In my mind, was like I was actually getting emotional as well, because that's when it's doing the flashback of his father leaving him, and then it cuts right back to him, and like his teeth is like wiping away tears, and he's such a great actor because you can see it, like the pain and everything, but it's. They're all like, hey, it's London. The boys are back in town. Cool. It's awesome, man. Yeah, let's just keep on having fun. And it, like, it hangs on that for a second. But your guys are so right that it skates above the surface of those things in a way that a sports movie would. This movie essentially is a sports movie where jousting is the sport.
Is your sport.
And that's what it's concerned with more than anything. Like, there's an actual war being fought by our nemesis. And you hear how his methodry is very cruel and everything, but you get a brief moment of that, but then it's just him looking at the stats, you know, reading like, you know, like
all the stats of the jousters, because they have they have so many shields.
Because he's like, what Ulrich, they use as Ulrich. The shield and the insignia, if I can say one thing, and we watched a couple deleted scenes earlier, and there was like multiple scenes about the making of that insignia, and they're hanging out by the campfire, and he's like, oh, it should be a phoenix like rising from the ashes, and then Wart's like, oh, it should be a lion because lions are cool, and they're like, nah, lions are overused, and they're like, what about three phoenixes, because there's three of us, so it's a three phoenix insignia throughout the whole movie. And it was kind of cool to think about, like, there's a reason to that, and they had a couple scenes attached to it. But when you see that shield, there's three phoenixes on the shield he rides with.
That's fucking awesome. Kind
of fun.
So speaking of what is this
I thought they were saying warp, and maybe they're saying what in an English accent. What?
Totally.
Wait, that reminds me of a time when I was younger, my neighbor across the street was British, and so his name was Clark, but like they would say clock. So I kept calling him Clock for the longest time.
Your neighbor's name was Clock?
Yeah, like I thought his name was Clock, but it's Clark. But it was like they spoke in a British
English accent.
Yeah, so I'd be like, clock, clock, hey, clock.
Clock.
They never did. You learn it on your own, or did they correct you at some point?
They must have corrected me at some point, because I remember realizing that it was wrong. But yeah, I did call him Clock.
She's like, that little girl that calls me Clock, she's so cute.
Yeah, right. You're not going to correct a little girl being like,
this little Korean girl.
Whatever. I don't give a shit.
Like, oh, it's
can I talk to you for a second?
It's her baby mind.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you have a minute?
Can I pull you aside?
Can I pull you aside?
Could you imagine?
So you've been calling me.
You've been calling me Clock, and it's very weird. And I don't understand what your problem is with me, but it's Clark.
Yeah. What's your fucking problem? Oh man.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, but if I can share like my brief story with like this movie, was just see, my aunt and I would go see movies together, and I think she saw that this was a movie that she would be interested in, saw that it'd be a movie for boys. Definitely this movie was like targeted, not to be like, you know, but it was just like the action. That's the, and a young boy at that time, for medieval times and swords and mm-hmm. and all that sort of thing. It just looked really cool with all the music and rock and roll. And that was something that she took me to, had a great time. And I think the music, while a lot of it as it plays now is like very stereotypical, like what an obvious song choice.
Yeah.
Boys are back in town and like get taking care of business. And those things are like kind of like
we will rock you.
Kind of like
his first joust,
the dying light of I think those kind of songs being effective in being able to do like montages and things like that with these kind of songs and get away with it, like I'm too sexy for my, you know, you just can't do an I'm too sexy montage anymore. Love, and right, I feel like this is kind of the waning era of those kind of songs, but also I think it's just emblematic, or like it's kind of like what's to come in other movies where record scratch sort of dropping famous songs are almost abused in some movies nowadays, like the first Suicide Squad, where it's just you use that as like an excuse as to not applying any sort of plot development or character to anybody. You just like play a song and just like, oh yeah, that's you get what's happening here, which can be good, but when it's overused it can be ineffective. And the way that this movie uses it is awesome, to combine a modern sports movie with medieval times is a blast. And I did not realize until watching it today, I've seen this movie many times, I feel like too, that it's almost 2.5 hours long. It's 2 hours 12 really? minutes. It doesn't really feel like it. I just kind of blows by a little bit.
I always feel like it's such a short movie.
I disagree.
I agree. But that's why, because we're having so much fun. Yeah. It flies by so quickly.
Where do you think it drags the most, Brandon?
It drags when it's all about the, like, the bad guy. What is his name? Rufus. Count. Ed, him. I don't know. He's trying to figure out.
Count Fucktard.
Count Fucktard, let's call him that.
Perfect.
He's trying to expose William. You know, that
Count Adhemar. Rufus.
There Slayer. You go.
And then, there's, I would say, like a little bit past half point, it drags, and then it picks back up again towards the end. But a lot of that too is just the way that it's edited and the way that it's shot. Is there's a lot of time I felt like that was spent just like, let's go, let's, yeah, we get it, we get what's happening, like let's get back to it. Like you know what really dragged for me was when he is not winning for Shannon Sossman, which I really, really want to talk about, because that whole thing and concept is really crazy. That dragged a lot, because it's just a lot of like him on the horse and just getting hit over and over again. And I really could have used, like, instead of the silly, I would argue, text in the beginning of the movie, very beginning, where it describes the knight as over the hill, which I immediately was like, that's so funny. They're just describing him as being over the hill and all that. Like, I would say I needed more understanding of what the rules of jousting are. Because there was a lot of this movie where I'm like, why is he able to just be on the horse and take this? Or what is up with him and the ends up being the prince or king or whatever, and then like staying, we're gonna not forfeit, but like drawn. There's just a lot of,
I think there could have been
jousting info I need.
Why, like a little bit more of the live update sort of thing. Like that's where like an announcer in a sports movie would be nice. Or like, it looks like he's up 2-0. What is he doing? It looks like he's just sitting there not doing anything. He looks like he's going to take it. That's completely legal because of such and such. But the only thing that's really said is by Count Adolfio, where he's rolls up to Sossman and, he's like, oh, do you know the rules? She's like, oh, I don't quite understand. He's like, well, let me mansplain them to you. And he sits down and does a brief little like, whatever, like, what is it? One flag for a hit, two flags flag or something. If hit, like a helmet two gets flags, knocked off
or one something for a like broken that. Lance, two for, three for unhorsing them, two three for unhorsing. Helmet.
Yeah. And then you're trying to get to like 5 or 7 or something like that. And you see the flags coming up every now and then. But I do agree there could have been those scenes could have been used a little bit more to have some commentary either by Bettany or some of the other guys to be like, this is what the stakes are and this is what's going on now. And when I wanted to go back to that one part, I will agree where you said it does drag. That was where I had like my one issue this time watching it, where there seems to be like this forced conflict that's put upon the movie because things are just going so well.
So well.
And I do like that because this movie is breezy. Yeah, I love good. It. Yeah. And then it never goes too dark or anything. But there is a moment where he's gone, the villain, and then he just starts getting pissy at Sossman for like what seems to be like no fucking reason. He's like, yeah, well, you can't eat a flower and you can't, what can you do with the fucking flower? What can you do with the rose? You can't do shit with the rose. It's fucking pointless. Just like you. And it's like, he's winning. He's just catching fucking dub after dub and villain homeboy is pissed off, but he's still just like, it's not enough. I got to put him on his back. And it's like, why is he getting so upset about nothing and taking it out on Sossman was my one issue. And there seemed to be like a contrived conflict, which was resolved in a very romantic, fun way where they all like tag team a love letter. I love that part.
Oh my God. Well, I want to talk.
You have been found.
The cast in this movie is inspired. I love the cast of this movie.
Yes.
We had talked about how they're going to add into the Oscars an award for her casting director, I think is going to
come. Oh, like nice. Cool. Allison Jones.
Allison Jones is going to clean
she's like,
up.
She's like on everything. I'm always like, oh, Allison Jones. Casting by Allison Jones.
Oh, so they don't even need to have the category. They already have a winner.
And they already have a winner. That's fine.
She can just never win. It's like the Allison Jones best category.
Allison Jones award.
Allison Jones.
The best Allison Jones goes to. But yeah, the casting in this movie is fucking inspired.
Impeccable.
I love the choice of Alan Tudyk. I love the choice of Mark Addy. Like, those are such great fucking characters. And also, too, I was always, like, really just pleasantly surprised by the size of Mark Addy. So that would be Roland, the guy who plays
King Robert
in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I forgot. Hmm.
I knew he was familiar. Yeah.
I forgot he was in Game of Thrones.
Or Fred Flintstone at a point.
Really?
Oh, what? Did he go to Vegas? Is it that one?
He went to Vegas.
Oh, he went to Vegas. Viva Rock Vegas. Fuck. Okay, I never saw that.
He went to Vegas.
I'm like, that's Shirley Goodman is the first one.
The first one is Goodman, but yeah.
Yabba dabba do.
Do. God, I'm not going to say that. I told Nick a joke. That was, I'm not going to say it.
Don't tell that one.
Well, now I have to. It's
or you so don't. I won't. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Please share. Do tell.
It's not my joke. It's from the Black Women comedy show or sketch show is the name of it. And there's this one joke that like keeled me over because it just has this such a good punchline and twist to it where they're all sitting around and they're talking about like love interests and just sex in general. And one of the girls was like, he had a Fred Flintstone dick. And so at first you're like, immediately you're like, oh, so he has a dick that's like kind of like a rock. But then she, then very quickly she's like, it takes feet to get started.
No.
It's a living.
Which is such a funny joke. But I was so pleasantly surprised by the Mark Addy.
But seriously.
Let's get back.
But on a serious note.
Fred Flintstone dick. But Mark Addy is the one who's the really sentimental guy.
Uh-huh.
And the one that's like making the clothes and helping with the letter. Because I don't know, I feel like most movies, it would be Alan Tudyk would be that person because he's less imposing. He's more of a like meeker or like a thinner guy. And that typically all like stereotypically is always like the emotional guy. And then the bigger guy is always the one that's like, I'm going to beat everybody up who's trying to get at William.
I will fong you.
But the flip of that was wonderful. And both of those actors are incredible. Like, I think Alan Tudyk and Mark Addy rip. They're so like, there are times in the movie where Alan Tudyk is like tearing and like really just so invested in this stuff, and his energy of excitement, his energy of frustration is so great. Like, he is so tuned into this movie. So is Mark Addy. And then Paul Bettany. I mean, let's talk about the Bentman.
I mean,
I just gotta say, Mark Addy has daddy energy. Mark Daddy.
Oh, Mark Daddy.
I'm kidding. But like, he's kind of like all the caregiver.
They're
like,
all kind of daddies.
They're all kind of daddies.
So in a fuck, marry, kill. What are no.
Oh God!
Shit!
What is your
the crew? I just want to be a part of that fucking crew, man. When they're looking, we'll get back to this question for sure. But when they're looking down on the bad guy at the end, and they're like all together, I'm like, I want to jump in.
Oh yeah,
jump right in. Be like, okay, break. Yeah, okay, let's go. Oh God! Fuck, marry, kill. Out of those three, well, marry Heath. You got to marry William.
Well, no, he doesn't count, right? Because is it?
Oh yeah. Oh no, no, he doesn't.
Oh, it's Bettany Tudyk and okay.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay, well, wait, sorry. Mary King Robert.
Okay.
Fuck Bettany, and I'm sorry, Tudyk.
He married Daddy.
Okay. Because Tudyk is combative if he wants to fight, so let's fucking go, and then I'm gonna kill him. And then I'm gonna marry Daddy.
Okay. You marry Daddy.
Mark Daddy.
Yeah.
And just bang.
How about you, Kara?
I'm going to have to do it the same.
Hell yeah.
She already called him daddy, so that's who she's marrying.
That's a given. All right, you, Brandon.
For me, it's going to be, God, fuck Bettany.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right?
Isn't that the answer? That's it.
It is. It's the right answer. You're right.
We're all on the same page here.
That's Nick? A bummer about Alan, but yeah, I get it.
Are you going to save Tudyk, or are you just going to kill him too?
No, I would do the same thing.
Okay.
Okay. I guess it wasn't that complicated.
Telling you, daddy energy.
After
this movie came out, he was the dad in like some, I forget the sitcom that he was on, but he was the dad in a show where, like, right after that movie came out.
Which person?
Daddy. Mark Addy.
Mark Addy, yeah. Okay.
Oh, Addy the Daddy.
Addy the Daddy.
Who would have known, man?
Yeah, he's
absolutely amazing. I mean, that's a great point with like Tudyk and Daddy, because like you would think it would be switched around, but I like that it plays a lot more with Tudyk's like insecurities.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, maybe like it seems like he's really trying to like puff up his chest even more because he's like compensating for something, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
When Paul Bettany's so calm, cool, collected sort of thing.
Right.
For the most part.
Yeah.
He's just got one glaring issue. And there is one other deleted scene where he's just walking around naked and they all like run up to him. We're like, what's the matter, man? Like, what the fuck? Why did you do this again? And he's like, what? He's like, they're like, well, you gambled away your clothes. He's like, my clothes are right there. What? And he's like, why are you walking around naked? He's like, my lady was hungry. And he like pulls up his hands and he like hands her an apple.
He says, my wife.
My wife.
So it's like, he's like, he has a wife.
So he's married.
Yeah.
Which he actually kind of.
A little.
Oh, do you think he was just like saying that?
I think he fooled them. Tudyk was like, oh, I thought it was a prostitute. Sorry. But then I don't know. I think he actually fooled him. I think it was. But
I would just say that's kind of unsurprising because it's not like Bettany is like sleeping around. Like, you don't see Bettany with
him. I thought he was gay, to be honest.
Really? Oh, interesting. The only thing,
very fluid. I don't know. I feel like he's just in a pile of people.
Yeah, it does seem like he's sleeping around and he's fluid.
Doesn't know where one body is and the other one begins.
He seems like that kind of guy. I don't
know.
This is a Zoolander situation.
It's a Zoolander situation.
Right, so Knight's Tale. Oh, and then he's in the time machine as David Philby. That's right. And then he's in this movie called The Order from the same director. It also stars Heath Ledger, also stars Shannon Sossman. And I've never seen it, but I think I might check it out because it has all the same people. He's Friar Tuck in the Ridley Scott Robin Hood. And I think that's great casting as well.
That's great.
So
Friar Tuck is perfect for him too.
Right?
That's a perfect role for him. Yeah.
He's a perfect man. And this is a fantastic movie. I mean, so we talked music, we talked people. The plot skims along.
We haven't talked Heath though. Before we get into the plot.
Speaking of perfection.
I miss that man so much.
It was so interesting to watch this movie at this point in my life now, looking at Heath, because he is so representative of a particular type of sex symbol almost, of that time. Mm-hmm. Because now, lead actors and all of that, it's so much about like being really built, or they're so much more imposing. And there were so many moments in this movie, like especially when he's like laying in bed and Shannon comes and his arms are up on his stomach and he's just waiting for her in bed and he's got the covers up. And there's something about him that it's like, he was so physically interesting to kind of just think about, because he is kind of a, like boyish or like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
has this thing to him where he, I don't know. He's not imposing at all. Leans way more into the like leading man of what is he thinking? What's going on?
Oh yeah. He's brooding.
What's going on in that head?
He does that in 10 Things I Hate About You too, with the arms up like that. That's like his move. Like, Heath Ledger's move. He's like chilling like this.
He's got these little arms.
No, they're kind of long because
he's lanky.
Size-wise, I mean, not so much the length, but yeah.
His physicality is a big part of his charm, and his charm is just a big part of his success as an actor. I think that dancing scene is something that is difficult to pull off and it not be. I don't know. I think there's a fine line for me in that scene, which I love, but there's a fine line where I feel like if there's someone else doing this, I'd be like,
that looks weird.
Like, oh, but then
because he moves.
Seen
so
him and Sossman, like,
And that little hop he does in the dance, that in 10 Things I Hate About You too. Like, he seems like a goofy guy, like just kind of like, I don't know.
Bettany too, Tudyk as well, Daddy. Yeah. Like their chemistry all together as a crew just comes together so well. And then Sossman and her pal, it's like
her maiden.
Yeah, that whole back and forth between them is a big portion of this movie. And I, for the most part, like it. The losing thing, I think, is toxic, and I think it's uncalled for, and I don't think it's cute anymore. But I'm
really
glad they got to win after. And another scene that I really liked was the church scene where she does ask him to do that. But the way that's shot kind of surprised me. I was like, wow, this is an amazing like pan with him walking left to right towards her, kind of chasing after her, giving bad poetry about horses' flanks. And then she kind of rebuffs him and it goes right to left as she's like, well, lose for me. And then he's like backing off. And I thought that was really well constructed scene. And there's a lot of crowd work in this movie that is handled well from like from these like big wide shots.
A lot of extras.
And the action. I mean, they hollowed out balsa wood for the lances and were able to really hit the guys with it because they would just explode like that. Right? Then they like filled it with like dry pasta, I think, speaking of fucking pasta. Not like a Nick noodle, but like a firm dry noodle. Firm. one of those. like a what's his face? Like a Count Adolfio jousting thing, like, you know, with a fist.
Oh my god, the fact that he just crumbled. That was so weird to me that he was like, the person presented him this lance that was a spear, but then he disintegrated it before the fight.
It was broken. It was a broken tip, so it almost seemed like proof of concept to him of like, okay, you bring me this broken lance, I'll take it, cover it with hard rock sugar, whatever she said it was, and you paint it black, and then give it back to you as like proof of concept, and then you can give me a real one after. I don't know. But it does get the point across, I guess. I'm surprised he didn't poison that shit gladiator style.
Oh my god, could you imagine? Right. Also, too, it's one of those things where not to nitpick, but like, where is the like kind of refereeing there where it's like it goes to all the other characters and everybody's like, look, it's the pointed thing, and everybody recognizes, oh, this guy's, you know,
it's called the lance. Hello.
playing dirty. And then, but that's not a
well, it's also like that time frame, you know, that time frame, everybody's like, the mindset is everybody has honor, right? They're gonna, when you're at war, you just stand and shooting people without killing them with their swords or whatever. But everybody in the ring is supposed to have, you know, honor, and he's, that what makes him like the extra villain, because he doesn't have honor, he fights dirty.
Yeah, no, I get that, but then there's also a lot of time spent in this movie talking about like, you need to be here at this certain time, you have to have these papers, and you have to have all these like requirements for stuff, and so it's like, well, okay,
had a governing body, but they didn't have like referees.
Where Bettany shined was just like, oh, you need me to talk some people over, just like, you know, present the arms or whatever it is. But the obsession from the villain towards our guy William was funny at times this watch, because I just thought the obsession for him and then for both of each other. And even when he was locked up, I thought they were going to kiss at one point because there's just like so much sexual tension. But at the dance, I just thought it was so funny as well, where he's just on his ass so much, where he's like, hey, Sir Ulrich, why don't we see a dance from Liechtenstein or whatever the fuck it is? And it's like, oh, God. And then when he does lay the dance on, I don't know if you guys notice, he fucking like almost starts to cry.
Before he storms out of the castle.
Yeah, and he's like about to have a panic attack and he storms out. it broke him.
All three of us watched that scene before you got onto the podcast.
It's like,
also that the villain, like,
I hate David Bowie.
I can't help but think of a past episode we did, The Holiday, which he also plays ostensibly the villain in that as well. And it's always so funny to just see an actor who has a face like that just gets,
he's typecast as the dick.
He's always the up his own ass dick, and that's just his whole career.
Yeah, I remember I don't remember too much about his character. I just remember him being there.
He was the doctor. He was the doctor that ends up getting like dementia, I think.
Yes.
What ends up happening?
Uh-huh.
You know,
he gets old.
He gets old.
I'm down to kind of start wrapping up here. I'm looking at some of my notes. You got a joust trophy for the sword fighting contest. I thought that was weird, where like they're presenting the trophies and it's the one where he didn't win the joust, but then they're like, for sword on foot, Sir Ulrich, and they hand him the trophy and it's a dude with the jousting with a lance and he's on a horse. And I was like, why did they give him that one? This is for the sword on the foot.
Yeah, where's the guy with the sword? Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. To that point too, is I did find it kind of fun and amusing that the awards that they won, and like you got to see a little bit of the like fencing and like selling off of that.
Which yes, is, I did like that. Kinda, just like,
I don't know.
You take your share and she just knocks the head off.
Right. He like breaks apart this statue and he's like, you get this and then you get this.
I like the loose sort of like take an extra florin. So why not? I like the kind of how they treat money. It's like, yeah, take a little money.
Yeah, well, here we go. And it's not money. It's like gold. Yeah.
Florins, silver and gold florins. Because they mentioned, so they get like 15 silver for the first tournament. And then they like, I noticed this time, right? I haven't seen this movie too much, but Bettany is like, yeah, I own like 20 gold florins or some shit like that. And they're all like, what?
Yeah.
Tudyk's like about to rip his head off. There's the Nike symbol by the armor. I thought that was a fun touch.
We haven't talked about her. Great.
Excellent. Yeah.
Excellent. You know what? And she also gets into this like side of the movie that I found really interesting, is this movie has a lot of, I don't know, isn't so boy heavy. I think there is like a feminine sensibility to this movie that was really surprising. You know,
like it's a romance. Yeah.
She's the only like armorer. That's a she, you know, like it's a male dominated industry. And then she comes in and makes that armor for him that's super thin and lightweight. And then everybody's like laughing at him until he hops up on the horse by himself. And then it's just, they all just go silent. Like, oh shit, that's really good.
I wish I could turn my neck.
Right.
I mean,
that's where I want to be, one of those ADR guys in the background, like, oh, damn, that's awesome. I was just like saying silly stuff.
Right. You just see crowd noise and you just hear, look at that armor.
Look at that horse.
Is that
butter? It looks lightweight. Yeah.
That's a well behaved horse.
Oh, it's a horse, of course.
Yeah, I thought she was really great, especially the scene where they're writing this the note to Shannon Sossaman, like her involvement in it, also to just the way that there was some of that relationship between them, of them not looking at her so much as like a second class citizen and looking at her more as an equal. And there was some of that. And it was really also funny. The way my mind worked on this is like in relation to John Tucker Must Die. I was like, this movie nails the Bechdel test in like 2 minutes. Like, she's not talking about a guy. She's just talking about, like, at one point, like, she's just talking about the work or like what's going on with her. And it's just like such great character stuff. And it's not,
she's not talking to another woman, though. I'm trying to think if this actually does, because the only two women that Sossaman and her friend about how they can get Sir Ulrich.
Oh shit, that's right. Oh fuck.
But this is, I mean, this time and setting of this movie is a tough one to tap into that. But I'm sure maybe Sossaman and her friend have at least maybe one conversation that's about something else, I'm sure, right? I like that. I do like that they don't continue to chide her and continue to poke at her for being a woman blacksmith. Yes. It's brought up once. Oh. They like, and then she's like, oh, it's because I'm a woman, and she tries to get ahead of it. And Heath is like, they never even mentioned that. They just said like, you're only good with horseshoes and shite with armor. And then she just takes offense to her skill as an armor. She
takes offense to rather her being than just her talent. You know,
the sexism. Mm-hmm. And then that is where it kind of lies, and it never is brought up again. And I appreciate that. And then she just drops one line about her husband dying. And it's like, you don't really want to go further with that. Everyone has their story in this fucked up medieval world. Sure. And it's almost kind of nice when they're like, yeah, I haven't been back to London in 5 years. And he's like, yeah, like fucking 12 years from me or whatever. And there's a lot that can go on in there, and everyone has their story on the road and everything. And that's the whole D&D Baldur's Gate side of it that I like. And I also like, I'm rambling, but the little raft where you pull the chain across, that's got a nice cinematic effect of like the father leaving and he just Yeah. Raises his hand wait, and fades into the fog.
It's like it's the thing from the sherry or that takes them across in Lord of the Rings.
Exactly. Yeah. Get off the road. That's a little bit better.
God, that reminds me of a very poor use of music in this. Is the training montage is a soundtrack by Lowrider?
Yeah. There's
the fuck was that about?
I don't know. He should have had like a horse that was like had tiny legs.
And it like sprung.
Yeah.
Try to try to buck him. Yeah.
He just has mini horse.
That was rough. And then there's the meet cute when he first sees her and is following her on the horse into the church. The track that's, I know you like it, Kara, but the track that's playing during that whole part is
awful.
Awful. Really bad. And it's a really so bad, bad, like it'd be playing like Beverly Hills 90210 or something in the background. It's very like speaks of the time. And maybe it's cool for that of like a romantic meet cute, but it's like electric guitar, generic, like, and then he's just like, it just goes off for a bit, but then it comes back with a really great score later. I don't know. There's really great like actual score too.
I can't remember the specific song, but I liked how kind of like cheesy and tacky that scene was. Like I was open to it being like silly and like the rom-com aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember the song specifically, but I remember
it was very generic and almost like a prefix on
I kind of love that, like he's like looking around for her and then she's like in the background. Is that the scene you're talking about?
She's got the white hat.
Okay, let's talk.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to the hats
in this movie, or hair, her hair color.
The one and where she's still, like walking in the back, and he's like looking for her, and she's like in the background above.
Yeah. Uh huh.
She goes up to the second level.
I think it's hilarious.
Into the church. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious.
I mean, all of that.
The song I can't remember. Yeah.
I mean, all of that is really good, and it's to this movie's credit, like. The them falling in love and all their relationship stuff does work, you know? I mean, sure, we can say what you will about the him needing to take a knee and all of that stuff, but like, I don't know, the chemistry between the two of them was great, you know, and you really believed that them falling in love. And
agreed.
Yeah.
Didn't they date after this movie too, though?
I would not be
surprised. Did they really?
I think they did, because then the order. Yeah. I assumed that, maybe that was just me. I assumed that maybe they did after that, because then they're doing movies with each other still.
Or Daddy and Sossman?
Daddy and Sossman.
But just one last thing on that music, James, I made a note of it. I was like, this music is so
I did the same thing. I was like, this is really bad.
because it was like very 2001, like rom-com, but like then
Disney original movie
put on top of it, like flutes or like some type of like medieval instrument on it. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is P.U. And also, too, I was also still thrown by the Lowrider song being the second like jukebox song in the movie was such a misfire for me, where I'm like, Lowrider just okay. Fundamentally, I like the song Lowrider. I don't want to say
that.
I want to put that out there. I like the song Lowrider, but like that had nothing to do with a training montage. Like, right? There's nothing about Lowrider where you're like, we're getting ready.
Lowrider's like, just a fun song, so maybe that's more of what it was
aimed at. It's just fun songs
to keep the movie in a fun, upbeat way, instead of actually trying to tie it into like they do with The Boys Are Back or We Will Rock You. Like that wasn't what it was meant for.
Yeah, the songs are just like fun, upbeat songs. Like there's no,
the other ones make more sense. I agree than Lowrider. And I'm even trying my bestest to even make it. I'm like, well, he's not on a horse. He's just trading on the boat. So maybe it's a little lower than the horse. I don't know. He's on the boat. He's low riding on the boat into the hoop.
Yeah. Just also too, like fundamentally the BPMs of that song to what was happening was like so at odds with each other, where it's like we're speeding up because we're learning and we're getting better, and then low ride, or you're like,
but we're also taking it easy and staying real low riding and chilling.
We're just mad chilling. And I was like, wait, there's a gajillion songs you could have picked. And you chose that one. And then also too, I had mentioned this before we started recording, but James, I wanted to talk to you about this, is Golden. What is it? Golden Years. Great song, but weird choice for that.
I thought too. I did not expect. That was the one that I did not expect. All these other ones were like, yeah, of course. And then that one, I was that like,
makes sense.
This is used in some stuff, but like not as like, yeah, overplayed as some of the other ones. And
like that was,
I liked
the
it.
The movie was the first time I'd ever heard that song.
Sure. Probably me too. That's dude.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
And yeah, I think it was doing, I was, cause the chord progression, everything, and the Renaissance style, Baroque sort of way it was playing the song beforehand, I'm pretty sure was just the Golden Years, like in that style. Cause I was like, this is sounding familiar. And then it slowly kind of transitioned into the real one. Which I'm pretty sure they did like a almost Golden Years kind of like version in like a medieval style. So the transition
medieval nice. Golden Years.
I think so. And I like that dance. It was cool how it was shot. And then his little twirl and then their chemistry dancing was should not have worked as well as it should as well. It did. And that has a lot to do with the cast, and the energy was like improvised in some of this, too, from. All of it seemed like everyone had a lot of space to have fun and work, and mm-hmm. luckily that paid off. Mm-hmm. And because I don't think it does every time, and it must have been an Allison Jones situation. Or
well, that's what I was telling James, is like it seemed like it would have been so fun to work on this movie, like with the costumes, the setting, or like the set pieces, and like just the cast. Like everyone looks like they're just having a good time, and yeah, I feel like I love that movie.
The cast seems like they're all friends.
Yeah, or just like having a good time. And like the director seems like he's also having a good time. Like, and that's what I love.
Maybe sometimes a little too much fun if you. Too much fun? Yeah, there were times in this movie where there's like weird slow-mos and okay, the way that I felt about the direction of this movie was very uneven. First and full stop, because yeah, like sometimes it's presented very well, like this is, you know, an action sequence, and it's, you know, the way that it's just the scenes constructed great, but then there's these just weird flourishes throughout the movie that sometimes I loved and sometimes I was like, what are we doing here? Like there was speed ramping at weird parts. There was not slowing down.
It's a big bug at other parts. Mine. Well, just like they drop the frame rate sort of thing, where it's like mm-hmm. they'll do a close up of Sausman reacting, and it'll be like skipping frames, so mm-hmm. she can like, and so it seems more dramatic, and it's just mm-hmm. tricking you into thinking that. But yeah,
and also the flashbacks, the way that's handled too, is like a little very
that's like
student filmy, where like remember how every. Going into every memory, there's like a lot of weird visuals.
It was a a whiteout, and especially when he gets smacked in the face with the lance, hello, he goes back the first time, and I don't know, man. There's something I agree it's cheesy about it, and this whole movie, it skims above the surface. It's almost 2.5 hours long, but God damn it. Like there's the pros kind of, will outweigh the cons for me, spoiler alert. But I realized that like maybe it should go deeper in certain areas, but I am happy it didn't. And one of those was you get the prince to be king was a big plot point and a big deus ex machina in this movie. And that was one where like you could get a little deeper in that. Cause that's really, I really like that concept of him bottom low class, you know, fucking prince, noble, super high class, and then they meet in the middle of like being a knight. And I like that idea of like them kind of just foiling each other and finding that weird common ground in the middle of like, oh, we're not who we say we are, but from completely opposite spectrums and opposite ends is a cool idea. It's played for a big plot point in the movie, and it could have been deeper if they wanted it to. but they didn't. And that's okay. And I thought that guy performed really well in his like two big scenes.
Yeah. I mean,
it's two big scenes. It's
two big scenes. Yeah. Cause he has to come in and be a big, scenes. Like,
yeah,
about to change the whole trajectory of the movie right now.
I was going to say, style. It's so fucking convenient. Like when he comes in at the end where you're like,
and he just knights him. It's like, this is the only way this is going to work. And it does. And it's like, fuck yeah.
This is the perfect situation right now.
As such is beyond Constantation. The way he like announces Constantation is always interesting to me.
And he's got that X on his face. Like, cool. Why not? He's got just a fucking X scar.
Yeah.
Why would he have that?
I by and large agree. I, you know, I'm obviously being critical of the movie because I think it warrants it, because it's, you know, it's a good movie. Yeah. Like, spoiler alert, it's a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I just it is interesting how little you in the movie gives a shit about like the inner workings of royalty for how much the movie is about being knighted. Like there's so little of like maybe some other ruling individuals like having conversations about that stuff, or just again the prince or whatever like having some time spent to him being like what maybe a little bit of where what he's doing or something to that effect, because it's just at that, I would just argue it's so light that it makes his, you know, when he comes in at the end, so like,
yeah,
obviously convenient. Mm-hmm. And like,
I like they do foreshadow and tease a little bit, but I agree that like him coming in to save the day is a lot to maybe reckon with for some people. But the tease is nice of him, like, you know, for the whole forfeiting, and I won't line it out, but that whole lead up to it was a nice way to sense like, oh, I remember this guy, and then something's off, and the reveal is pretty cool. And my last note I think I would share would be Paul Bettany seeing Sossman sneak into
William's
tent, and he says, bed him well, my lady. Bed him well. Such like that, like is, father, like it's I don't a know. Meme.
Like it's a structure of a meme.
It was like Mufasa, like looking from down to Simba, like yes,
yes,
good Simba.
I really feel like Bettany had a lot of room to play in this.
Agreed.
Like I do really think that the director gave him like the opportunity to like kind of take it there. And that's exactly. And you can just tell. And that's what makes it so fun. Once again, it's like I'm watching these people have fun, and that's what makes it fun for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Full stop. Totally agree.
So for so many people to pop in this movie, like he still kind of steals the show a little bit. Like somehow he still does it, but everybody fucking gets their chance to pop. Like every character has their moment, I think. And what an experience. And
did you guys know that Heath Ledger was 21 when he did this?
Wow.
That makes sense.
So like they kind of like that. I read a brief, like I skimmed a brief article of like the actor saying like he was kind of like the golden boy, like the baby. And
sure. And,
yeah. That also adds to the innocence of your, like of his
boy,
of what you're saying.
His look.
Yeah. His look in general. Yeah, it's, again, such a specific look where it's like this Southern California, I don't know.
Surfer.
He's from Australia, though.
He's
an Aussie. Yeah.
So he's Aussie. Got the Gold Coast. Different.
He's got the Gold Coast. But yeah, that beachy vibe to him, you know, really tan skin. His sun. Yeah, sun hair, sun blonde, like dirty blonde. Yeah, absolutely. He also has that. It's so mesmerizing. His face seems like so tight.
Yes.
On his.
Yes.
his skin is so tight on his face.
I know.
The way that his mouth opens, it seems like it's like really like hafting to like stretch through something.
And his lips look like they're always dry. Like his his skin looks like it's leathery. He probably just like grew up in the sun.
Child.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like every angle of him kind of looks like a different person almost too. Mm. It's weird. I don't know. Maybe I have face blindness for Heath Ledger sometimes, but like, I feel like there's, depending on what angle you're looking at, you can kind of just get a real different person, which is yeah, kind of, a lot of angles.
I would say too, the bearded long hair Heath at the beginning, very cool look.
Yeah, with the dreads.
Yeah, the dreads. He's got that shitty looking beard. That was the that beard was so terrible.
But didn't you like how he looked? He had the exact same haircut as a child. Like he just had the same dreads. Like, yeah, they just gave him the same wig.
He's never had a different look his entire life.
It just looked like a bigger. I love when like they just age someone up. It's like, yeah, it's just a bigger version of him. Yeah, it's like a kid, but bigger now. He's wearing the same thing. You know, he just kept the same thing on. It just grew with him. Well, great. Well, you guys, I'm just going to do some audiences, critics reviews, our final scores. I feel like we're running a bit long, so probably skip the game today. Sorry, folks. It's all good. I think we're
going. Hey, life's a game.
Life's a game. Do you guys want a break at all, or are we?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that Car's new bumper sticker?
Life's a game.
I mean, it is a game.
We'll be right back.
A game, play it.
Okay. So what I have for you right now, Kara. So is Life's a Game better than this? What I have for you is, I get it, but I just don't know.
Yeah. No. Is that exactly how I said that? Yeah.
I get it, comma, but I just don't know.
Yeah, I said a lot. I get it, but oh.
It's a mantra.
It's a mantra. Yeah,
Israel's is wait, what? So yeah. The fact that everyone has the exact same reaction means it's perfect for him.
Yeah, that works.
So is Life's a Game better than I Get It, But I Just Don't Know? I think maybe.
I Get It, But I Just Don't Know is more Kara in my mind. But Life's a Game is really great too.
It's a really great one.
I mean, mine is Surprise Acid is the best acid. So
on that, we will be right back. Thank you, everyone.
Oh, we paused.
I said it earlier, but this time we'll be right back.
James has such a good one.
Like James said, we were on a break. So.
I can cut it earlier, but I think that might be a funnier point.
That's even better. Surprise guys is the best at it. All right, we'll talk to you guys in 5 minutes.
Wait, what's mine?
Yeah, I wonder who James is.
James is, they call me the hammer because I'm nailing it.
Oh, I don't even remember when, why, and how.
How do I pause this?
I'm glad that it replaced I'm Farticus. I didn't want that to be permanent.
I'm Farticus.
That is a good bit, though.
That's a good bumper sticker, though.
That who smelt it, dealt it. I'm Spartacus. No, I'm Farticus. Anyway.
I'm Farticus.
We're like, who dealt it? I'm Farticus. It's a good bit.
I'm Farticus. It's a good bit. Yeah, it's a good bit.
That's a great bit.
All right, we'll be back. Wait. Hey, don't you turn that dial. All right, we are back. Welcome back, everyone. It is review time. That's why we're here. Polarizing reviews by audiences and critics alike on Rotten Tomatoes. The critics gave it a 59% rotten score, just barely rotten. That's what happens when you make a movie that's not good in the eyes of the critics. They give it a big old toot. If you make a good movie, they give you a fresh popcorn and a 79% from the audience. And I will probably be on that side. Spoiler alert. Released May 11th, 2001. Now I'm realizing this was around my birthday at that time. Maybe Jackie took me for my birthday. I always like going to see movies for my birthday.
That's what I used to do.
A lot of superhero movies always come out.
Except that birthday movies. When you went and saw Spider-Man 3.
Hey, at least it was memorable. That's what I used to be so embarrassed by it now, but now I'm like, oh yeah, that's so funny that I dragged all those people to a midnight showing of that, and they all started getting mad at me when
a midnight showing for Spider-Man 3. Ooh,
yeah. Tobey Maguire started dancing down the street, and everyone's like, James. But then we were all like, we started laughing. At certain parts.
That movie's hilariously bad.
It started to come out like where everyone was like, uh-oh. And then we just started to chuckle a bit. And then I felt the laughs start from our corner, which was the back right corner, and just emanate throughout the theater. And soon everyone was kind of just laughing at the movie. So that was a nice memory. We were all in the same boat by the end, but they are all like, I'll never forgive you, James. And that was a nice present for my birthday of people just being mad at me.
Well, for my birthday, I took people to go see, well, my mom took me and my friends, we were like in elementary school, to go see A Walk to Remember. And wow. So we were all crying.
Yikes. Oh, heavy, heavy. Yikes.
Yeah, I don't know. So yours is probably better.
Like the hell. The only one I remember going to see on my birthday and make my friends go to was James and the Giant Peach.
Oh, man, I should have done that one.
Oh,
man. I should have been your friend.
I should eat a peach.
God, I'm trying to think of a birthday movie for me. I can't think of one right now. James, you
have summertime movie. Yeah, I would have been there.
Yeah.
If you did. I'm trying to think of a summertime flick. There's got to be a lot of Brandon would go see. That Brandon would take the time to be like, that's what I'm going to do for my birthday.
Yeah.
I don't know. We've definitely seen plenty of movies together.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of them. There's been movies on this very podcast. We're like, yeah, we saw that one. We saw this as children in movie theaters.
We're children. We're children.
We're children. We're adults. We have a podcast. Listen to us. From Peter Rainier, New York Magazine. He gives it a rotten, no score attached, but it's rotten because he says, instead of pulling young audiences imaginatively back into the past, A Knight's Tale cheapens the process by demonstrating that there's no essential difference between then and now. Did not like the combination of the modern with the medieval. Richard Schickel from
Time, loved.
Which we loved. Richard Schickel, Time Magazine, a 3 out of 5. Not so bad, but not so good. The result is a half Python, half Ivanhoe, and not as much fun as either. Okay. Susan Losizna, USA Today. May please aficionados of oldie stations and extreme sports, but few others. So that Venn diagram of oldie stations and extreme sports is what this movie works for. Jeff Pevere, Toronto Star. Basically a thrift store bin of borrowed ideas and careworn teen cliches. A Knight's Tale executes one of the most drastic wastes of promise this side of a gifted high school slack off.
Wow. Put him in a body bag.
He really didn't like that movie.
And lastly, from Stephanie Zacharek, Salon.com, it will rock you straight to sleep.
Wow. Bam, 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 bam. God, the judge, jury, and executioner on that one.
Bam, bam, bam. Let's go to audience side of things. 79%. Here's a 5-star from Rick Baman. B-man. I don't know.
B-man.
5 stars. Fuck it. I unashamedly love everything about this movie. I got really choked up during the scene where he is found out and everyone wants him to run, but he refuses to do so. Then when he's in the stocks and his friends come to protect him. God love you, William. So do I. And then when he gets knighted. And then when his father comes to the tournament and Chaucer announces him as the son of John Thatcher. Sir William Thatcher.
William Thatcher.
You have been weighed, you have been measured, and you have been found wanting. From Bailey, 5 stars. Heath Ledger in knight armor is my new sexual orientation.
Oh, okay.
Does anyone, I'm going to try my Bill Hader Stefan voice because Melanie requires it for this review. This movie's got everything. Rock music that's both anachronistic and diegetic. Shannon Sossman as that bitch who somehow has access to late 90s couture and neon hair dye, while everyone else is in literal rags, medieval, Nike, product placement, Steve the Pirate, 7-ish time viewing.
That's a great review.
There's a pirate on our team?
There's a Steve pirate? The Pirate. Steve the Pirate is in Dodgeball.
There's a pirate in Dodgeball?
I'll be on the Stairmaster.
We'll do maybe a couple more. From Lily, 5 stars. I love this wacky, cute movie so much for so many reasons. And if you don't, I will fong you. F-O-N-G. But I gotta admit, most modern rom-coms can't top that scene where, like, Rosalind, hey, if you love me, lose the tournament. Will. Okay, bet. Rosalind, wait, no, don't lose that hard. Wait, no, go back. There are ribs broken. What the fuck? I said stop. Jesus Christ, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. Cara, that's suck the soul out of Kara.
Like, oh, was that a lot? That was a lot. That was a lot. Yeah, it's called Lance. Hello. Some people say even Musty Heath is gorgeous. Just a lot of love.
Musty Heath.
Musty Heath. Double Stuff 7 says fucking classic in every way. This from Bob Goochman, 5 stars. Look me in the eyes and tell me that this isn't a perfect movie. Call me a fox, Sir Hunter, for that is all I am to you. Well, then a fox you shall be until I find your name, my foxy lady.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that was great.
He's got some good lines. The people love it. I want to hear what you guys have to say before we scurry off into the night, as me and Brandon are prone to do. Kara, would you like to kick us off, or would you want to pass it off to Nick? Or if neither of you would like,
so I'll start.
Pass it off to Brandon.
I mean, yeah, if you want us to go first, feel free to say that too.
Review and a score, 0 out of 100.
Okay, cool. That's what I needed.
Or 140, the Danny system.
Or 150. Yeah. No.
Nope.
I'd probably give it like, I'll give it a 90 out of 100.
Excellent.
Ooh, I like.
I fucking, the movie's amazing. I love that movie. Because it's just a fun, it's always a fun watch. Every time you watch it, you're not going to be in a bad mood when it ends. So
yeah,
it's great. You're not,
feel good.
You might tear up a minute, but other than that, it's just upbeat and fun. So why? How could you not enjoy that film?
Oh yeah,
I love ending it on a question because it almost is like a call to action for the people. How could you not? And then it makes the people think. So think about that, people, as we move on to Kara. Do you want to go next, or do you want to go last?
I mean, that's a great score. I'm trying to decide if I want to go higher or lower, but I feel like 90 is a pretty good score. Because if I go any lower, I wouldn't truly feel that way. Like, it is such a fun watch every time. And yeah, it's not perfect, but it's a perfectly good, feel good movie. And I love the costumes. I love watching the set pieces. I love all the actors. It's a good time. Yeah. I think I have to say 90 as well. What do you think, guys?
Whoa.
Question. Yeah.
Let us know in the chat. Yeah. Make sure you email polarizethepod@gmail.com. Brandini, what would you give it, baby?
God, what would I give this? I mean, I really had a good time with it. It was just a little long, and a lot of the stuff was so like, it's very corny and cheesy and not deep, and it doesn't need to be, because the performances really make up for just, the performances give a lot when there's little on the page. So I just overall am really wrapped up in the interactions that people are having, and just weighed down a little bit here and there. God, I really did enjoy this movie, and I would definitely recommend it to people. It's interesting because I don't have that like strong allegiance, you know, having a history with this movie, but just seeing this for this, for the pod, like, yeah, I had a great time. I was able to overlook a lot of its shortcomings. Some of them were glaring, so I'm not, you know, I don't know if I would. Yeah, I'm not going to join you guys as being in the 90s. I don't think it's that for me, but I definitely feel like this movie to me was really enjoyable, and people should see this. And because of that feeling that I have about the movie, I would give it probably 85 is actually not too far off, but yeah, I feel like an 85.
Fuck yeah. We're all right there together. And this movie I do have a history with, and that definitely goes a long way, but there's plenty of movies from my history that don't hold up. This movie holds the fuck up, and it for a lot of reasons. It's great for if you want to pay full attention to, if you want a background sort of watch a million times and go on your phone, great for that too. The soundtrack, I mean, it is a sports romance period piece with an amazing cast and energy. And it blew my mind. It was almost 2.5 hours because I've watched this movie a bunch of times, and there's not many movies that long, I feel like, that are just easy to throw on like this. And I will continue to do so. So I'll join you guys. I'll do a 87. I'll get right there in the middle. I think I'm almost
split the difference.
Almost 90. I'll split the difference. And I'm somewhere in that 80s range. If I could throw a criticism, I think there was that little bit of forced conflict at that kind of juncture in the movie that was like, something needs to happen. The movie knew it too, and they forced it a little bit rather than actually have a reason why they like got into a fight, which could have been, by the way, she is, I know we just need to wrap this up, but when she finds out who he really is, she is so chill about it. And she could not care less. And very understanding. I do love that too, because it's just doesn't waste time. It doesn't waste time on that, because there could have been a whole stretch of time of him. Yeah. Of him trying
very untoxic
for her not to find out. And that could have been a big portion of the movie of like, we can't let her find out because she cares so much about propriety and class. Why would you want to be with someone who care about so much about that in the first place? So the fact that she doesn't care about it says more that like, this is why they do hit it off, and they get together, and her friend goes with daddy and happily ever after. Happily ever after for this episode. I think it's
what was 100% was, I'd give this a 100% score, is Paul Bettany's coats.
Ooh.
Those are pretty rad.
Yeah. Shit, coats and hats.
Oh my God. I love a good coat. That's with a
100% score for me.
Yeah.
110, maybe 150.
Hey now. If you say 150 three times, Danny might show up, and you got. Hey, did someone pass Malignant? This has been a true pleasure, per usual. This movie, if you haven't seen it, you've made it this far, please go check it out. I'm glad that it's just held up in my esteem. You will not find it on Tubi because it dropped right after we watched it today. So that is kind of mind blowing, as we watched it last night and today it's gone. So good luck, however you're going to watch it. But if you made it this far, you already did. And this is another one like in the Rush Hour 2s that are just always going to be rewatchable, always going to be. And Nick's kind of joined us for pretty much a lot of those like super. Mm-hmm. Oh no, you were supposed to be for Super Troopers, but you weren't
there.
No,
I didn't. I was Grandma
Roxbury. can't wait to have you guys. Do you guys have anything else that you wanted to add, or we're all good to go? No. Cool.
Just that the costumes were great, and I think we talked about that a little bit. The costumes were great.
Yeah. Absolutely agree. Sossman's outfits, I was going through today, and it was hard to pick a favorite. Mm-hmm. I think the one with the white hat and the meat cute is such an interesting look that reminds me almost of other outfits in our next movie. Is that little white outfit, the white hat outfit by Sossman?
Okay.
The next movie will be Darren Aronofsky's The Fountain. And there are many Rachel Weisz outfits that are like that, I'd say. She is wearing a lot of white. He's wearing a lot of black. The symbolism is not subtle in some of the parts, but he's wearing a lot of black. She's wearing a lot of white. It's a movie that is near and dear to my heart, I'm already going to say. So I'm excited to talk about it. It's got a 53% by the critics. It's got a 74% by the audience. It's a little birthday movie for me. Brandon gave me the birthday setup, and I'm going to try to knock it out of the park here with a Fountain episode. We'll see what happens. We hope you guys join us. We hope you have enjoyed us for this very special ep with very special people. I've been your very special forever guest. Brandini, the co-hostess with the mostess. That's right. You're the hostess now. Because you like those Twinkies. Oh, I'm a little monster. And I'm a big ding dong. If you want to reach us, polarizethepod@gmail.com. We're streaming live, twitch.tv/polarizepod. Rate, review, subscribe, Apple Podcasts. You would be our favorite person ever. If you do a little blurb or something in there too, that would be the best. We've been chugging along with this podcast, and we feel like we just are enjoying ourselves a lot and we want to keep it going. And we'd appreciate some feedback as well. We've been going long enough. I'm curious how, what people have to say out there about it. And thank you all. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Adios.